So what was Priscilla McQuilla going to do? Set him straight in public? Put him down in public? Hear me, they didn't judge him. They judged the message. They judged all things. They judged the message as being wrong. But because they were in the Spirit of God, God, through the Holy Spirit, gave them the spirit of discernment. They could tell that even though the message was wrong, he wasn't one that needed marking. He was one of the good guys. He was not a wolf. He was a brother that had moved away and hadn't gotten the rest of the story. So they drew him aside, as Matthew 18 would have directed, privately. Go to your brother alone. The message was offensive. You see, wrong message. So they went to him alone, and because he really was born again, and the Spirit of God was there, and his heart was tender toward God, as soon as they told him the truth of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit bore witness to the truth, and Apollos immediately accepted the truth and went on his way to Corinth with the full gospel to preach. You hear that? So that's one way that we see how to handle things in public, according to what we've learned in Matthew 18. Now, someone right now should be willing to say to me, wait a minute, Brother Floyd, I heard that. I'm not disagreeing. I got the point. But I've got a problem. There's another scripture in Galatians chapter 2 where Peter sinned. When Paul came to town, there in Galatia, Peter and all the Jews had been eating with the Gentiles. And then some of the Jews came up from Jerusalem, you know, from the big church, where James, the brother of Jesus, was ministering. And when that happened, they were afraid, they were a little ashamed that they, you know, might get reproved or called out on the carpet for having eaten at the same table with Gentiles. Now, let me just say that the Bible never told Jews they couldn't eat at the same table with Gentiles. That had become a tradition of the Jews. And you'll recall that Paul stood to his feet and reproved with all the compassion and love that he could muster his brother, Peter. And he did it in front of everybody there. You say, and so you ought to be able to tell me, well, now, Floyd, that seems like Paul must have been out of the Spirit. No, he wasn't. Now, I'll leave this one up to you to check me out. All right, now, you check this out. But if you'll read verses 13 and 14 in that story, the reason he did it publicly was everyone was guilty. He addressed Peter because he was the leader. But all the Jews were guilty and were in that sin. So it was done publicly because everybody there was involved in it. So see, that was a slightly different case. So keep that in mind. It'll help you because we need to be able to restore. Back to Matthew 18. Look with me, if you would, beloved, at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Hey, what's the motive in his heart for saying that? See if you can discern that one. Hey, his old fallen nature is leaping in here. Peter has been offended. Peter's been offended. He was one of the ones, after all, that had been up on the mount. And I can just hear him kind of saying, big deal, big deal. You've got to go up on the mount. Well, you're no holier than we are. Maybe we're going to be the first in the kingdom. So poor Peter's been offended. And what Peter wants, verse 21 and 22, is the natural response of the fallen nature toward an offender. They want to retaliate and get revenge. Peter wants revenge. How often, Lord, do I forgive him? Seven times? Hey, he's keeping records. He's marking it down. He's got his little black book. Let's see, that's the sixth time that old Andrew said something like that toward me. Now look at the Lord's answer. And Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, I say not unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven. Now let me just say this. If you'll compare that to Luke 17, verses 3 through 4, which goes with this, hey, 70 times seven, when you compare it to the Luke verse, it's per day, not per lifetime. And the Lord kind of figured that nobody would keep our records, you know, counting up 490 times in a single day that anybody would give up for. They try and keep those kind of records. All right, do you see that? It's not just 70 times 7. And I've heard teachers say, oh, those were perfect numbers to the Jews. Well, kind of, but that isn't what... See, when you get what Jesus said in Luke 17, it's per day. In other words, you just keep on forgiving them. Now, hey, you don't want to do that. And neither do I in our fallen nature. You've got to be in the Spirit of God to do that. I sin against you this morning. And then I come to him at, you know, 9:30 and say, hey, brother, I sinned against you. Will you forgive me? Okay, forgives me. 30 minutes later, I did it to him again. Now, he's going to have a he's going to have a really tough time. Well, you just did it 30 minutes ago. I know. All right. So, and right after lunch, can you believe it? All right, now listen, let me tell you where that really happens to us in our families, between husband and wife. And you wives will forgive us twice. That isn't 7 times 70. And you children, when we don't do right by you, and you walk away saying, I thought my dad and my mom were supposed to be Christians, and they didn't do it right. Children have a very keen sense of justice. And so we ask them to forgive us. One good thing about kids, the Lord said, come as a child. You know why? Children tend to forgive a whole lot faster than us older ones do. You know how I know that? Many a time my kid in the past, you know, when she was growing up, Jennifer and Mindy also, they'd get in the worst arguments and things out in the street with their friends. Come in the house furious. Just telling us how somebody's done something wrong, and by the time I start getting a little head up a little bit, thinking I may have to go talk to that daddy about what his son, you know, about his son doing or saying certain things around my daughter, and about the time I think I'm going to have to go take care of this thing, she's back out in the street playing with them again. Quick to forgive. When the Lord says, be like a child, that's one thing he's talking about. Quick to forgive. Quick to forgive the one that offended us. Now then, everything we've been learning is summed up in this story. So let's quickly share this story. A parable from the Lord. The whole chapter is unified by this story now. Offending, restoring, and you're going to see this in this story. Ooh, ooh. Binding and loosening. Are you ready? Can you handle it? Therefore, verse 23, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, or about $12 million. All right? That's a lot of money. In fact, with the price of I computed that several years ago, and with the price going up of silver today, it's really a lot more than that today. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, that payment would be made. In other words, the whole family is going to be sold into the king's hire now, and they're going to work off the debt. Now, this guy is not a man of means. And for him to be able to work... Now, can you picture... Hey, you owe $12 million. How long, Al, do you think it would take you and Margaret and your children to work off a $12 million debt? Well, you can see that this is just... It's just total destitution. There's almost no hope, except that they will be working for this guy for the rest of their lives to pay off the debt. Now, in Israel, that wasn't as bad as it sounds. While they were working it off, at least the guy would furnish them a place to live and food. So, I mean, it's not as bad, you know, as the opposite, where the guy takes everything they have, and then they're out on the street, you know, with nothing, and going to starve to death. So this isn't as bad as it could be, but it isn't good. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now that's the sin of pride. This guy is no more able to pay this incredible sum than the man in the moon. Have patience. I'll do it. I'll come up with some brilliant idea. I'll work harder. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Hey, didn't say he was struck with the idea that he might get the $12 million back because the guy had such a brilliant idea. Just flat out compassion. And he loosed him and forgave him the debt. The man was bound. He was bound. He was so tied up. His life was tied up. He couldn't do anything. Any of you got debts and you're just bound? There's no fun in your life anymore? God says, get out of debt. Romans chapter 12 says, don't owe anybody anything except the debt of love. You say, Brother Floyd, that's not practical. No, but it sure is fun. It's fun not to owe. The scripture says that the borrower is the servant of the lender, and they are, you are. But he loosed him. There's an example of Bible loosening that doesn't say, that isn't what most of y'all taught were taught loosening and binding was about. And forgave him the debt. 12 million biggies. Hey, does that show you the heart of God and the difference in the heart of God and the way most of us operate when we're in the flesh? But now, let's see what did that do to the man's heart? Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's about $15. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that which you owe me. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay you all. His exact words. But he would not. And he went and cast him into prison till he should pay off the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their lord, the king, all that was done. Then his lord, notice that's with the little L, after that he had called him, said unto him, O, you wicked servant. Are you hearing that, beloved? God has forgiven you your whole list of incredible sins, your sin debts, every one you've ever committed. And now you won't forgive someone that's offended you or sinned against you. That's wicked. I love you enough to tell you. If God has forgiven you, Brother Kyler, the whole list, and you've had a big one, like me, then shouldn't we forgive the guy that just has laid one or two on us? Just owes us $15 worth of flesh compared to $12 million worth of flesh? Oh, you wicked servant. Now, that's not me, that's the Lord. See, it applies to anyone. Listen, if you won't forgive people, this applies to you. But if you do, it doesn't. Hallelujah. If you forgive them, it doesn't apply. I forgave you all that debt because you asked me. Just because you asked. You desired it. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? In other words, the Lord in this story himself, the king, had set a good example. Al, he had set a good example. He says, shouldn't you have profited from my example? And the real king, the king of the universe, says that to you and me. Shouldn't you guys profit by my example? I have forgiven you everything. Forgive that husband that wronged you. Forgive your boss that wronged you. Forgive your preacher that wronged you. Forgive your fellow that wronged you. Forgive your husband that wronged you. Since I forgave you your whole list of sins. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know what he did to him? You know what he did to him? You said it. Say it again. He bound him. He wouldn't repent, so he bound him. That's just exactly what we learned. He asked God to drop the hedge. In fact, God already was going to drop the hedge in the story. Now he's agreeing with God. So he's in the name. For the punishment of his flesh, for the saving of his soul. So likewise, John Adams, shall my heavenly Father do to you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Hey, ooh, do you see the word hearts? We can lie with our mouths. Linda, I forgive you. But inside, oh, can't wait till something bad happens to her. I'll get her back one day. Boy, the worm will turn. I'll have my day to nail her for what she did to me. God says, unless you forgive in your heart, and God sees our hearts. Now, let me make sure you understand that part. Listen to me. You see, the problem is sin breaks down fellowship with God. And when we don't forgive people in our hearts, then our fellowship with God is broken. Now, this same thing here is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. You remember it says there that if we don't forgive people, God won't forgive us our trespasses either. Do you remember that? Now, that doesn't mean the sin isn't paid for. Jesus on the cross has already paid for that sin. But you won't experience God's forgiveness if you don't forgive. In other words, the inner peace that comes with God's forgiveness. you'll still be all torn up on the inside. Bad breath, you know, from all that acid pouring in. Your face breaks out. You know, you get ulcers on your tongue and all kinds of things like that. And I could go on and on. Because we won't forgive. And God says, now, when you don't forgive, I don't forgive. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, God says this to every one of us. God says, listen, I haven't grown deaf so that I can't hear your cries. My arm has not grown short so that I can't reach down there and help you guys when you call on me. But your sin, and it might be just this one tonight, you won't forgive someone that's offended you, has separated between you and your God, and I will not hear you. Until, of course, as you go on and read, you'll find in the context is until you repent. In other words, God's been waiting to hear that. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I want to ask you something. Have you been having trouble lately with your prayers? Are you in a situation where the prayers just, they're not getting past the ceiling? Larry, you know what I mean? You know, ever have one of those kind of sessions in your life? You know, you're praying, but you just can't make contact. Have you forgiven? Joe, have you forgiven? Have I forgiven? God says, well, that might be why you're sin, why you're not feeling like it's making contact. It isn't. Now, let me just make sure you see these little points in this parable on forgiveness. The servant in this story, the first servant, had no ability to pay the debt. That's like us in Christ. We just couldn't pay that debt. You know why? Hear me, beloved. Man became bankrupt through sin. The price or the debt of our sin had to be paid in full. And what was the penalty? The wages of sin is death. A life had to be forfeited. That was the payment. And we couldn't pay it. Many of us tried to pay what we owed God. We tried to pay it by being moral, making New Year's resolutions, going to church, reading the Bible, doing penance, you poor Catholics in here. You know, every way possible we tried to pay God to get out of this debt we owed Him. But the payment that God said we owed was death. And we weren't dead. And not only that, the payment is death, total death. Death of body, death of soul and spirit. And death of soul and spirit is separation from God. We call that hell. In other words, beloved, if you want to pay your own debt, that's what you're going to have to do. And that's right. Everyone that wants to pay their own debt and will not let God pay it for them, that is the way they will end up paying it. With physical death and then with spiritual death. And they'll work on that debt forever. Now, God did not try to extract more out of a bankrupt person. In other words, beloved, when someone's bankrupt, he said, what do you mean I was bankrupt? You were spiritually bankrupt. I was spiritually bankrupt. I had debt so great I couldn't pay it off. What do you call having debts that you can't pay? Bankruptcy. God says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What do you mean by that? Those that are bankrupt spiritually and will confess it. Lord, there's nothing good in me anymore. I can't pay the debt. And throw yourself at God's mercy. And just like the king in the story, the Lord is moved with compassion. And so, God didn't try to extract more out of a bankrupt person, but what happened is Jesus Christ became a surety, a guarantor for the debt. He says, Father, Floyd can't pay what he owes, but I will pay for him. Everything Floyd owes, Father, I will pay. I will become the guarantor for the debt. And he did it voluntarily. And so, beloved, by the action of a guarantor on our behalf, the bankrupt person was set free. Without in any way taking one thing away from the creditor. And the only loser was Jesus. But he felt that it was worthwhile. Because in doing so, he would bring many brothers into the kingdom of God. So all your debts and all my debts have been paid in full. But if we don't forgive, we don't experience the freedom and the peace. And the man in this story wasn't willing to admit that he couldn't pay his debt. He had a proud spirit. And in verse 27, he got loosed. So God says here, see, he had a proud spirit, and God, and even though he was loosed, it didn't bring humility out in him.
See, God knows we have debts. God knows we've got debts we can't pay. And that's a very humbling experience when you and I confess that we've got debts we can't pay. And the point in God letting us come to that is to drive us to total dependence on Jesus Christ. So that you'll quit trying to pay your own debt and accept Jesus instead. God does not want us to be self-sufficient. God wants us to be totally dependent on Him. And the only way we can do this is to get more grace. Grace enough, hear me. Grace is it's the desire to do things God's way and the power to do it God's way. So God had to humble this man. It looked like everything was going to go well for his life. He had been set free from his $12 million debt, but everything wasn't going well because still down in his heart, he was a self-sufficient man. And it showed up when he said, I can pay the debt if you'll just be patient. And these sins in his heart, God brought to surface by letting another man come to him with his own problem. And the thing that he despised that man for the most was what he had for his own problem. Debts he couldn't pay. And so he judges the man instead of having mercy on him. I want you to see this though in closing. Last points. Verse 34. He was delivered to the tormentors. Now that's not hell. Nobody torments people in hell. The devil doesn't torment people in hell, nor do the demons. The Bible teaches, for example, in Revelation 20, that when the devil does get thrown in there, he's not even there yet. And that when the demons get thrown in there, they're going to be tormented there too. They're not going to torture and torment people. And nobody, in fact, is in hell at this moment. Right now, people are in Hades. Their soul and spirit are in Hades, but when they stand before God at judgment, they will get bodies back. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 teaches that lost people will have bodies for all eternity. So if you've ever heard the old argument, well, how can spirits burn? They're not going to have spirits. And if God wanted to burn a spirit, He could do that anyway. All right? But the point is, this is not hell. Hey, hear this. He's turning them over to the tormentors. Is it happening in your life? Are you in torment in this room tonight because you've not forgiven for someone? I know some of you are. I know that some of you have not forgiven people in your life. And right now, this whole week, your life has been in torment. God bound you. He dropped the hedge. And He bound you over to Satan for the destruction of your flesh. You're miserable. For the saving of your soul, you're going to repent. You're going to. Between the Holy Spirit and the devil working on you. The Holy Spirit's working on your spirit. And the devil's working on your flesh. And you may as well give up. Because that's God's plan to make sure you stay saved. And bring you to repentance. And I enjoy telling you that because that's the joy of a teacher to be able to tell someone how to get loosed. Hallelujah. And so this chastisement is for sin not repented of. The payment is repentance and or restitution if that's necessary. And quite often that payment requires humbling of self when you have to go to someone and ask them to forgive you. Delivered to the tormentors. Have you been delivered to the tormentors? Now, the tormentors, tormentors come in many fashions. Now, you're a Christian here, but let me tell you, you can be delivered over to demons, not to be demon-possessed, but to be demon-oppressed. They can make you miserable. But there's all kinds of tormentors. Boy, you won't forgive somebody and you're riding down the road so mad you don't even pay attention. You're doing 75 miles an hour and the policeman pulls you over and you got a ticket. Tormented! And you start thinking, how'd that happen? Well, I was real mad and I wasn't paying attention. See what I mean? God says, forgive them. Now, I'm telling you this, we could sit here till the cows come home thinking of ways that we're getting tormented. There's all kind of torments. And God doesn't want... God, listen, you're bound. You're bound. And God says, hey, I've already paid for your sin. I've already paid for their sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 teaches this. Since God has forgiven you for all your sins, this huge list, all of them, even those thoughts. Surely, Floyd Jones, you ought to be able to forgive Joel for that one lousy bad thing he did to you. If I forgot the whole list, for Jesus' sake, for you. Would you stand?